Melachim Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel through Chaf Hey tell an almost incomprehensible story about the next miracle that occurs via Elisha in a way that is, again, almost incomprehensible. And there's different treatments of it, with the most lengthy being the Gemara in Sota, Memvav, and Memzayin. And we'll do our best to do justice to it. But just the words of the Pesukim are chilling. So, Vayal Misham Beis El. And so Elisha went up from Yericho to Beis El. And the Mefarshim point out immediately that it was incumbent upon the people of Yericho to accompany him, because not only is he a tzaddik, but he saved their water, and they showed no gratitude. They just ignored his departure and got kind of self-centered. And so there's an issue between some of the people of Yericho and Elisha, and that leads to tragedy. And he was going up on the road. And small youths, little boys, is how one would normally translate this, came out of the city, and they made fun of him. And they said to him, they mocked him. And they said, go up, Baldy. Go up, Baldy. Who are these Na'arim? So there's some differences of opinion, whether they were young boys who had no manners whatsoever because their parents hadn't taught them any. Some say that the word Na'arim and Kitanim don't generally go together. So they are actually adults, according to some interpretations, who were Minnu Arim, who were shaken out, who were empty. They were people who acted like kids with no self-control and no manners and no understanding. And they're mocking him as bald head, as bald man. Mitzudas David says that this was meant as a direct insult based on how his master Eliyahu had been well known as a very hairy man. And now, in derision and ridicule, they say to him, you are bald. You do not have his zechus. You don't have the hair on your head that he had. You're not a real man. And by saying, go up, Mitzudas David says, they're telling him, go up to heaven like Eliyahu. We don't need you. So they are definitely very rude, but they are going to get a major reaction back. So Elisha looked behind him, and he saw them jeering at him, these boys. But Vayirem, he really saw them in a way that only a Navi can see through a person. And they really should have been much more careful and much more respectful. Vayakalalem b'shem Hashem. And he cursed them in the name of God. Now, if he was just a vicious person, God would not have listened to his curse. Apparently, this was deserved. And then, Vateitzeno shtayim dubim min hayar. Two bears immediately came out of the forest. The phrasing is interesting. What forest? Yericho is in the middle of a desert. There's no forest. And second of all, Vateitzeno is feminine. It means two female bears. And there's nothing quite so vicious as a mama bear who doesn't know where her cubs are. And they came out of the forest. Vatevakano mehem arboim ushnei yelodim. And they tore apart 42 boys from among the boys in the crowd who were jeering at Elisha. Absolutely unthinkable. Excuse me. So what's going on here? So Elie Wiesel immediately is just shocked based on his take on Elisha up until now. And he says, how is this even possible that Elisha could possibly be vindictive or vicious? Yes, they were insolent and mocking, but did they deserve to die because Elisha lost his temper? Some commentators suggest that Elisha's temper was too quick to flare up. Unlike his master, who punished only adults, Elisha also punished children. To this day, says Elie Wiesel, and remember, there's more power to it when a Holocaust survivor says something like this. I am tormented by the curse that he cast on 42 children. Hasn't the Talmud taught us the perils of rage? Whoever gets angry is deprived of his wisdom or prophecy. So the Talmud tries hard to explain Elisha's outburst, and we're going to explain it right now. And yet, It was this same Elisha, he says, who brought hope and joy to a childless family, who had the courage to vanquish death and rescue a young victim from its dark embrace. I often think of Elisha ben Shaphat. I so wanted to see him when I was a young boy during the darkest of times. Where was he when so many Jewish children perished together with their mothers? Could he have saved at least one? Whenever I think of those children, I remember Elisha. Coming from Elie Wiesel, those are strong words. But if you read the Gemara, you see it's a lot more complicated than it seems on its face. And of course, you know, Mr. Wiesel is going to look at it one way. But if you look in the Gemara Sota, it explains, first of all, that the little children as Na'arim were bare of mitzvos, minu arim, they were naked of mitzvos. They were bare of faith. They were behaving like little children. They had no respect for the nace that was just done for their own purposes. One of the Mefarshim, Rashi brings down that they were actually angry because of lost income. They had made money bringing water as water carriers from sweeter sources. When Elisha cured the waters of Jericho, he put them out of business. And so they were making fun of him for the most basic reason that people get upset. Avdu parnasasan. They had lost their parnasa, he says, based on the Gemara and Sota. So they're selfish, and they're nasty, and they are without worthiness, and without zechusim. And the Gemara says that when Elisha looked at them, and saw through them, he saw a number of problems. That they were conceived on Yom Kippur, when intimacy is absolutely forbidden between Jews, which means their parents conceived them in sin. That they imitated the customs and manners of the Emori. That there was no vestige of mitzvah or emunah in Hashem, and that their descendants, should they have any, would never come to anything either. When a single Jew is killed, an entire world is killed. But when each of these is an empty planet like Mars with no life on it and nothing coming from them in the future, that's why they could be cursed into death, because they had nothing to offer. I have heard a pshat about Cain and Hevel that says that's the truth about Hevel as well. Hard though it is, because we're used to seeing Hevel as the innocent, unarmed, peace-loving victim of Cain. But Hevel says one pshat, I don't remember b'shem who, I heard it from Rabbi Brodny once in a shmooze on Tzom Gedalia. He said, Hevel, he came to nothing. Havolim, there was nothing that was meant to come from him. Rabbi Chanina says in the Gemara, why 42? 42, because if you count up the karbanos brought by Balak, back in Parshas Balak, when he was trying to get curses on the Jewish people, he brought 42 sacrifices. And in exchange for his 42 sacrifices, something bad had to happen to Klal Yisrael as he originally intended. And that was these 42 children. So they're awful children. They're bad. They're going to come to nothing. But again, as Elie Wiesel says, it's still very hard for us to understand. Apparently, the Stipler Gaon in the Karana D'Agarta, in his collected letters, has a lengthy treatment of this, but I haven't been able to find the Sefer. I would love to read inside what the Stipler says about this Maisa. But either way, it is something that is not only permitted, but is confirmed by Hashem. Rabbi Israel says on a political level, perhaps the townsfolk of Jericho may have resented Elisha for abandoning their town. Maybe they supported an alternative candidate for leadership than Elisha. So when you look at the words, it's almost a challenge to Elisha's leadership potential. So Elisha now is negotiating a rocky cliff path to ascend out of Jericho, and a large group arrives to heckle him and hound him out of town. And they shout out, Alei Kereach, go up, Baldy. You can't even climb a hill, you're substandard. They are undermining his leadership at a crucial early moment when he needs to confirm his leadership to Klal Yisrael. And so this was a way that his leadership would be confirmed. The weight shifts from Elisha to God once the bears come out, because in Malachim, attacks by animals, especially lions, we've seen this before, are the instrument of heavenly retribution, particularly in response to disregard for the Navi and his Nevuah. This is a divine response. Female bears, Dov Shakul, a bear deprived of her young. For the Abarbanel, he says, one of the bears is for the honor of Eliyahu, and one of the bears is for the honor of Elisha, because they're mocking both Nevi'im. And this has to be done to cement Elisha's place, to set the tone for his future leadership, because by attacking the holy man of God, it says that they attacked the man of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They committed sacrilege. So there's no justification for them. For Elisha, we can ask questions about anger and about righteousness and about children, victims. For them, there's no excuse at all. And so the parak ends, sorry, we went overtime today. So he went from there to Har HaKarmel, the famous place where Eliyahu HaNavi had the miraculous confrontation with the Nevi'ei HaBaal. Elisha is retracing steps through the places his famous master had been as he makes the circuit as the new leader of the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael. Umisham shav Shomron. And from there he returned to Shomron, Eliyahu's home base. But Elisha did not fear the way Eliyahu had. The vengeance of Izebel and the anger of Ahav, neither of them are in power anymore. And the dynasty is about to die out anyway, so Elisha will be safe. But Elisha, unlike Eliyahu, is among the people and not hiding from them, in the midst rather than isolated. And now we're going to see more connection between Yisrael and Yehuda as they go on an ill-fated expedition to Moab.